Ovois, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Yud Beis. Hillel v'shamay kiblu mehem. Now we're on more familiar territory. The Tanoim by us start. The names that previously mentioned, we don't know much about. Even in future days, we don't have that much in terms of halacha from the Zugais. But here's where recorded halacha of hundreds of instances where we talk about Shammai and Hillel, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel starts. And the reason for that is very straightforward. In previous days, there were very few Sveikos. There was one Machloikis that lasted four generations of Zugais, one small detail of halacha. Everything else didn't have a name attached to it because it was the consensus of all the Gedolei HaTorah. It was the unanimous decision after deliberation, whatever shailos came up by the Sanhedrin HaGadol, the final arbiter of any shailah of Mesira, of halacha, of Ashkofa from the Lishkas HaGazis. Remember, no psokim were mentioned by name, kefi the Chachmei HaTorah that were mechadish them or said them, because they became the Nachlas HaKlal. It wasn't like what we have today in a sugi. You have Rav Moshe's p'sak, Rav Eliyosha's p'sak, Rav Shlomo Zalman's p'sak. Or you have in learning and lamdas, you have Rav Baruch Ber's mahalach, Rav Shimon's mahalach, Rav Naftali's mahalach. Because different chachomim have different perspectives. Then they debated and they argued, and the machlokes that they had were intense and were all consuming. The Melchamta Shel Torah waged supreme by Klal Yisrael. But at the end, the final lamdas halacha was unanimous, and it was decided, and that became the Nachlas HaKlal. Mikan Ve'elech, because there's a more of a breakdown in authority, it became almost impossible to create a complete and total consent. That's why there's going to be a ribuy of machlokesin, and this tkufa of ribuy ha-machlokes, Hillel and Shammai is the first time we have more than one machlokes, because of the persecutions of Hillel, I'm sorry, of Hordas, and those that were hostile to Chachmei HaTorah, there was a complete breakdown of the Koyach of the Sanhedrin to the point where sometimes they didn't even have the full Sanhedrin. They couldn't bring the Chachmei HaTorah together. There were whole groups of Chachom that had to flee, go into hiding. Many Chachomim went to more fertile area to learn and to teach, which was Bavel. And this is an important point that we're going to have to speak about in this Mishnah. What exactly is the role of Bavel? Because it's very important to understand the Tana, the Godel Shebegdeile Oilom of Chachmei HaTorah, Hillel, who's called the Gemara Hillel HaBavli. But in the absence of complete and overwhelming authority of Chachmei HaTorah to have a complete consensus of their Psak and their Mesira, it became much more ribuy of Machlokesin. And this continued for hundreds of years until Rabbeinu HaKadosh, there was a period of tranquility where the authorities were completely cooperative with Rabbeinu HaKadosh's efforts. And because of that, he was able to convene asifa of all the Chachmei HaTorah of that door. They were able to create a uniform. They weren't able to be Peshit, the Machlokes, and the Sveikas of hundreds of years before, but they were able to paskin. And they were able to create a standardized nusach. Till then, Torah Shebaal Peh means it was handed down midor dor, and every chacham handed down his understanding, his version. So there can be very divergent nuschois of mishnayos, and that's how machlokesin came about. And there were different brises and different mishnayos. Rabbeinu HaKadosh was misadder, the standard for Klal Yisrael. All of Klal Yisrael has one nusach of mishnayos and one nusach of mishnayos only. There might be other shittas that are mentioned in Bryce's, but that all needed an authority behind it. And now for hundreds of years, from Hillel and Shammai until Rabbeinu HaKadosh, we don't have any more Chachmei HaTorah that have that level of authority, and a certain level of clarity in Torah is lost. That's where Machlokesin come about. Now Shmai Vavtalian passed away, and the Av Beis Din was Shammai. It's actually interesting. We're going to have him Yitzhak Hashem, the third parak, in Ovois, which is the name that comes up over there, Akavya Bemalal, is an almost unknown name. And the Gemara says that he was actually the greatest in Torah and Yerushalayim in that door. Seems like, if you go through the sources, it was that door, the Berech, the door of Shammai. And for reasons that we'll discuss over there in Perek Gimel, he did not take on the position of being the Nasi. I'm sorry, being the Av Beis Din, that was taken on by Shammai. The Nesius, which also included representing the nation, representing Klal Yisrael. The representation of the nation was always Chachmei HaTorah. Political leaders have no place in Klal Yisrael. It's always Chachmei HaTorah. Those are the leaders of Klal Yisrael. But a certain amount of handling with the authorities and so on and so forth, which was always the domain of the Nasi. And that was taken on, that role was taken on by Gedolei Olam from a family called Bnei Bisera. They called Bnei Bisera because there were several of them. There's Reb Yeshua ben Bisera, Reb Shimon ben Bisera, Reb Yehuda ben Bisera. They mentioned different places in Shas. And the Bnei Bisera were the Nasiim that shepherded Klal Yisrael through this very stormy time. Hillel was an Adam Godel Admoid, and his younger years had learnt in the yeshiva of Shmaya Vavtaya. Seems quite clear in the Gemara Pesachim Daf Samach Vov that Hillel HaBavli, his original place of residence is Bavon. Here, like we said, we have to clarify something very important. The Chachomim that we have mentioned, the Mishnayis, in front of us, are all Chachomim that were the heads of the Sanhedrin HaGadol, Lishkas HaGozes, and Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh. That does not mean that the Chachomim that we have mentioned all over the Mishnayis in Lud and Bnei Brak and Tzipori and Tvei and so on, all these places are all in Eretz Yisrael. Bavel, where Klal Yisrael was exiled after Churban Bayis Rishon, it sounds someplace where you could make a mistake that Torah started flourishing only later on the Tkuf of the Amiroim. The truth cannot be further than that. Most of Klal Yisrael, if you really learn the sources in Shas, most of Klal Yisrael lived in Bavel. And the atmosphere in Bavel was much more conducive to learning and to wide-scale yeshivas because there were no persecutions. And Klal Yisrael was established, there were communities, there were wealthy communities over there, and they learned. They had Mishnayis, they had Brises, they had tremendous yeshivas that rivaled the yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael. However, the final decisor of all Shailas of Mesorah was the Sanhedrin HaGadol, Kimitzi and Teitzei Torah, Udvar Hashem Yerushalayim. And because of that, when we mention Shailas and Halacha, even Mitkufas HaTanoim, we only talk about Eretz Yisrael. It was only later on, where there was a deterioration of the Matzav in Eretz Yisrael, that Bovel was forced to take on the authority of, like, the Sanhedrin, the Lishkas HaGozes. And then the Shas Bavli was decided for all time for Klal Yisrael, was formulated, and the final halacha l'maisa that we have at Etzem Hayom Hazeh, Shas Bavli, comes from Bavel. In earlier times, it wasn't necessary. Hillel rose to his station of Gadlus Batera in Bavel. That's where he was from, Hillel HaBavli. He came to Eretz Yisrael to clarify some points of Torah where there were certain amount of back and forth in Bavel, and he came to Eretz Yisrael. And he had the complete Mesorah of all halachas that he knew from Shmaya Vavtaya. He then went back to Bavel and he lived many, many years. It says that the first 40 years, that's when he came to Shmaya Vavtaya. He was a man of 40. He was already a giant in Torah, a gadol b'Torah. He then went back to Bavel, taught Torah. He was one of the Gedolei Olam from the age of 40 to 80. When he was 80, he came again to Eretz Yisrael. And there was a debate exactly how to bring the Korban Pesach on Erev Pesach, Shechaliyah is B'Shabbos, Ayin the Sugi Yimsochem Daf Samach Vov. And Hillel stepped in, and he was able to show the right procedure, and he darshan the Pesukim, and they saw, B'Spilus, the B'nai B'Seira, that he was greater than they, and they stepped down, and Gadlus, the Gemara mentions it in awe, how they stepped down from their position of authority of Gadlus, and they made way, and he became the Nasi. So Hillel became the Nasi in the place of B'nai B'Seira. There's another detail also. Mikan Ve'elech, Hillel's Nasius became a hereditary position. Till now, Shmaya Vavtaya, certainly if they were Gerim, it was based on merit, not hereditary. Malchus and Kohuna are hereditary. Gadlus Batera, this is an old principle by Klal Yisrael, going back to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu's request that his sons should take over his Nasius, his Anhog of Klal Yisrael, was rejected. Zeshtet Rashi and Pashas Pinchas. Gadlus Batera is based on merit and effort, no more and no less. Why did Klal Yisrael turn the Nasius of Hillel into a hereditary position? Of course, those that inherited the position were Gedolei Olam, Gedolei Ador Mamish. But why did it become hereditary? And the Magen Avraham brings from the Ramami panel a famous principle my Rebbe Rebel Yebrudni Shlita always uses this when he talks about the position of Rabbonus, position of authority, he points this out. That Klal Yisrael, because now there was a Malchus, She'eino Hoygenes, the Malchus of Hurdis and so on, deteriorated, where it was nothing but the trappings of a Goyish authority, dictatorial and brutal suppression of Klal Yisrael and hostility to Chachmei HaTorah. But Klal Yisrael needs authority. Klal Yisrael has to have the dignity of Gedolei Olam that represent them, that shepherd them, that guide them, that lead them. And because of that, Klal Yisrael was mekabel on themselves to take a family of Gedolei Olam. Hillel was a descendant of David HaMelech as well, so it fit. He was from the right family. And they made his family into a hereditary family of Malchus. The Nesius is not Malchus, but the Nesius is that hog of Klal Yisrael. It's like a Malchus. And because of that, that became its bedoimit too, if anybody wants to know what's the Nakuda, why the position of a Rebbe, Rosh Hashivis, are hereditary. Maybe there are others that are more Roy, could be, but Klal Yisrael needs that authority and Hanhoga of a hereditary Malchus. That creates stability. Everybody understands that democracy, where you vote every 4 years, it might be nice, but it doesn't have that Surah of Malchus. There's a certain dignity, a certain royalty that hereditary Malchus has. So Klal Yisrael has that in the big yeshivas, where the Malchus of the Rosh Hashivakite is given over, and the Malchus of the Rebbe Shaft that's given over Midor Dor Vat Moirim, and so on. These are all toitzois that come from that institution in the Dor of Hillel. So Hillel v'shamei kiblu mehem. Hillel loimer, Havi mi tamidiv shel Aaron. The Gemara says that Hillel was known for his outstanding anova, for his outstanding midos, for his outstanding his batlos to one and all. And he says instructions that Klal Yisrael lives by. We walk in the path of Hillel Azokin, all Gedolei Torah, tamidim of Hillel Azokin, in this Mishnah. Havi mi tamidiv shel Aaron. Shtol zich tzu ta Aaron HaKoyin. Bihoylich midrocho. Oyev shalom. To want that all Yidden should love each other and get along. The Raidiv Shalom, to be active in pursuing Shalom, Tzivishin Yidden, harmony, Achtus, brotherhood, Akrayis, Yidden for each other. Oyev Yisabriyos Umekarvan Latari. It's interesting, Diuk. It doesn't say Oyev Yisrael. Avis Yisrael is a tremendous smile. Over here it says Avis Abriyos. Avis Abriyos doesn't seem to be the love just of a Yid because he's one of the Rabban Shalom's kinder. Avos Yisrael, you love a Yid because Banam Atem L'Hashem L'Kechem. Avos Abriyos means interest and an interest in people, caring about people, being able to connect to them, being able to tuzecharein in there, what's going on for them. When you connect to somebody, when a Talmud Chochem is able to connect, when a Rav, a Rebbe is able to connect with a Talmud on a personal level, then it can be Mekavim L'Torah. That seems to be the message in the Mishnah. And it could be that the Hu Hoya Oimer over here, this, by the way, was the Anhoga of all generations. It's very interesting. We're going to bring members of Shammai. And Shammai, who's normally known as the Kaftan in Chazal, had nothing to do with personality, had nothing to do with it. It was Anhoga of Torah. He filled a certain role. He's the one who says, have a Makabas Kalad and save upon the office. We'll see in a few Mishnayos. Back upon him, it could be that what Hillel is saying over here is, again, the Huwa Yoim over here, is the Tkufa where there was a breakdown of authority. And because of that, there had to be a build-up that Talmid Chachamim now have to assume new positions of authority, because the authority from without is Kulei Ra, is Kulei Ene Hegenes. So because of that, Hillel delineated the real role of a Gadol Batera. The real role of a Gadol Batera is not about authority. It's not about telling others what to do. It's about connecting. It's about bringing Yidden close. It's about embracing all of Klal Yisrael, bringing all of Klal Yisrael together. It's true. A Gadol Batera sometimes has to fight the Melchemes Hashem. Sometimes he has to be Oymid Baperetz. Sometimes he even has to denounce those that have to be denounced to uphold the authenticity of Torah. But the primary gestel, the primary mitzius of a Gadol Batera is this, Havi mi tamid of Shalar. This is the message of Hillel to us. Mishnah Yud Gimel, Hu Hoya Oimer, and this is very interesting that the Nusach of this Mishnah is Kulay in Aramis. It's a difficult Aramis, more difficult than the Lashon of Shas Bavli, which is a watered-down version of Bavli, which is more carved to Lashon HaKadosh. This is pure Aramis. It's almost impossible to understand the words. And again, in the context of Hillel being Hillel HaBavli, it's not that hard to understand why there was a memra that he said, and it's recorded for posterity, in Lashon of Bavlis, because that's who he was, that's where he came from. This was his manner of expressing himself. It could be also that when you look in this in the Makaris in Shas, the time in the second bias, Klal Yisrael spoke Bavlis. When Klal Yisrael came back from Bavel after Churban Bayis Rishon, by the beginning of Tchuvas Bayis Shen, they did not go back to speaking Lashon HaKodesh. Today, there's over the last 140 years, it's been put on a pedestal, the speaking of, it's hard to even say Lashon HaKodesh, a form of Lashon HaKodesh, they call it Ivrit. And the real truth of the matter is that when Klal Yisrael came back to Eretz Yisrael, they did not go back to speaking Lashon HaKodesh. Chassam Sofer explains that the reason for that is because Lashon HaKodesh is the language of Nevi'im. It's the language of Nevuah. If not Nevuah, B'nai Nevi'im. Nevuah stopped by the beginning of Tkuvas Bayis Sheni. So the language of Nevuah, the language of expressing oneself in heavenly terminology, ended by the beginning of Bayis Sheni. Klal Yisrael now speaks the language of Torah. Not the language of Nevuah, the language of Torah Shebaal Peh. The language of Torah Shebaal Peh is Aramis. Why did the Rebbeinu Shem arrange it that way? As Ayidus. We have a makor to Torah being in Aramis from one word by Yaakov Avinu. When Yaakov Avinu created a fence between himself and Lavan at the end of Parshas Vayetze, the wall is called Galed, and the Torah says something which it never does in any other place, gives a translation. Lavan called it, Lavan who spoke Aramis, because he lived in Aram, he called it Yigar Sa'adusa, that's the Targum. Because I'll say, yeah, Shteto, the Targum Lashon, is not just the vernacular that was used in Babel, it's the language of Teresh Shebaal Peh. And that which makes a wall between a Yid and a Goy is not Teresh Shebichsav, they also have Lahavdil, the Testament. What they don't have is they don't have Teresh Shebaal Peh. And Teresh Shebaal Peh is the defining feature of a Yid, is Teresh Shebaal Peh. The language that we speak today is the language of Torah. It's the language of Teresh Shebaal Peh that defines us as Yidin. This should be a very pointed hashkofa about the language that's called the Vrit. Hu haya Omer, the member that he says in Bavlis, Negad Shemo. Negad means if there's a Hamshocha of a person's name. Shmo means a name. If his reputation spreads because he's a Tam Chochem and he's pushing himself into a position of authority where he tells others what to do and what not to do, it means a person uses his Torah to create not only a level of personal gadlus that others could gain from, but he creates a position of authority. Avad Shmei, his name will be lost. Because authority creates problems. Authority is no longer, this is what we said in the previous Mishnah, authority in the history of Klal Yisrael stopped being consistent with a level in Ruchnis in that Tkufa. So Negad Shmo is Avad Shmei, he'll be lost. That will destroy him. Udalo Moisif, if somebody is not constantly in a state of renewal of Liman HaTorah, Moisif over here is talking about Liman HaTorah, Yosef, he'll be taken away. Yosef means he'll be gathered in. Either it means he'll be nifter, or it means he'll lose his madrega. It's possible when a person, even if he grew a lot in Torah, for a person to accept a position of authority, and he is what he is, you know, a Magid Shirni Yeshiva. He learned well, he was Matzliach, he had a tremendous level of being a Talmud Chochem, then he took a position of authority, and that position means he made it, he's there. And because of that, one could lose the drive of constantly growing and steiging and learning more and learning better and chazering. If a person's in that state, again, authority can take away from Gadlus Batayra. So Deloy Moisev, if he's not in a state of constant steiging, so then Yosef, his Torah will not continue to flourish. Udeloy Yolif, somebody doesn't learn at all, Katola Chayiv, is Chayiv Misa. Clearly, the two members have to do with each other. Somebody who's not in a state of growing in Torah, he's not chazering, he's not learning, he's not growing further, but he's satisfied with the status quo. That's Deloy Mosef Yosef. So he's taken, he's maybe chayiv, but doesn't say katol chayiv. Udeloy Yolov is somebody who doesn't learn at all. So the Aveira is worse, he's not learning at all. The Rav brings also a memory of Psochem Daf Memtes, Amoritz Mutal Lekori Kidog. One's allowed to rip apart an Amoritz Mamish like a fish. Now, it's clear that once he's an Amoritz walking down the street, now let him run him over with a car. And it's clear also that Yidin need Kiruv. This is the same Hillel that the Mishnah before said, Oyevis Abiyus and Makarim Latari. It has this fit with saying, if you see an Amoritz, just throw him off a cliff. L'chayru, we're talking over here about a person who's smug and self-satisfied, and he thinks that he has some type of madrega of authority, or even some type of madrega of being a person without having to really do the work of becoming an Adam Ruchni de Limina Torah. So if a person's satisfied with where he's up to and he's not growing anymore, the position of authority just fills him up. That's who he is. Yosef. Udaloyol of a person who thinks, and this is primarily people are wealthy, people are in a position of power, they're movers, they're shakers, etc. Hillel Lecher is saying this, if Amiratzus is okay because the person has something else that he considers that makes him into somebody worthy, there's no bigger bezoyin of Kvod Shemayim than that, Katol Achayim. That's an open rebellion against the Rebbein Shlom. Reminds me of a story where a fellow came to Rav Steinman, Zatzal, and he said that he had, you know, was matzlich the last few years in Parnosa, and he wanted to buy a late model car, and his wife said, you're gonna park it, and then people are going to see, they're going to be jealous, ayin hara. So he comes to Rav Steinman to hear his opinion. Rav Steinman says to him, tell me, did you finish Shas over the last few years? He says, no. Did you write a sefer? No. Did you finish any mesechtes? Not really. How many hours a day do you learn? He doesn't really learn. You go home. You can do whatever. Nobody's going to be jealous of you. For a person to see himself as worthy and from the upper echelon based on a position of authority or political power, etc., is a bezoyin atayra. So Hillel is saying the point that he's making the last few mishnayis is the total contrast between the real Gadol Batayra, the real value system of Klal Yisrael. Every Yid Basher Husham, small, big, medium-sized, is measured in terms of how much are you growing in Torah, how much do you want your children to become Talmid Chachamim, how much do you want to grow in your level of Yidiyas HaTorah, Limud HaTorah, Dveikus HaTorah, and so on and so forth. Everything else is meaningless. There's no litmus test for worth of a Yid except for in the world of Torah. That's really the point he's making, and it's really consistent with what he said before, that a real Yid, in terms of Midois, a real Talmud Chochem, is Talmid of Shalar. He finishes off by saying, Deshtamesh b'togo, one who uses, togo means a crown in Lashon Aramis, one who uses the keser of Torah to cut him corners, or to what we call protectia, or to get him a maimid in society of Yidin that he's not worthy of, Chalaf, which means he'll pass, which is a way of saying in Aramis that he'll lose his life. He'll be passed over. He'll die young. The Rav brings three pshatim of it. It's a little obscure. What is he doing exactly? This is shtamish betago. One pshat is, like we said, he's mishtamish bekisur tal shel Torah, like a person who thinks that position in Torah is to be used for personal benefit. One pshat he brings interesting, he says that Taga is a Rosh Tevis of Talmid Gavra Achrino. Taga. A person is not allowed to use Talmidim, they're not his Talmidim. A person has his own Talmidim, a Talmid Chochem has his own Talmidim, they can serve him, they can be Mishamish, because they'll gain by it. That's an important part of their Shimush, of their becoming Talmidim of his, of becoming, being Mekabel Torah from him. But somebody else's Talmidim, it means you're using your status as a Talmud Chochem to lord it over other Yidin. That's unacceptable. The Yishtamish B'Taga Chalaf. The third shot that the Rav brings, Vanishamati, or the Yishtamish B'Taga is somebody who uses the Keser Shel Torah, is the secrets of Torah. refers to somebody who's using Seidus HaTorah, the Shem HaMafayrish, in order to gain personal benefit, there he's going to die. And over there, it doesn't mean he's going to die in this world. It means, Rachman al-Tzan, in lechel gal mabo, because there's no bigger bizoyin of the real purpose of Dargis of Kedusha. Person who could use Kabbalah to turn a profit, to predict the stock market, to do whatever he wants for personal gain, is Rachman al-Tzan. It's a tremendous distortion of Torah, and he mamish loses everything in this world and the next world.